Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Shape of a War Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can reach us also on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Again, you can reach us by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. That's for the live show. You guys want to call in and talk, or you can just listen, or you can go to the website and listen in. The New Slavery. The 13th Amendment allows slavery if a person has been convicted of a crime and incarcerated. Certain interest groups have sought to increase their profits through through legislation that facilitates mass incarceration and private corporate interests. From WebGuide, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The 13th Amendment to the Constitution declared that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to jurisdiction. So, formally abolished the slavery in the United States, the 13th Amendment was passed by the Congress in January 31st, 1865, and ratified by the states on December 6, 1865. So, the thing about that is, that sounds like double talk or double talk. How can you abolish slavery and condone slavery in the same sentence, the same law or amendment? Well, it's legal, and we know legal does not necessarily mean that it is ethical or moral. If you follow the money trail, you can find out what it really is. Profitable. From Return to Now. This was written in 2016. How prison labor is the new American slavery, and most of us unknowingly support it. You know, so think about that. If you knew that slavery exists, would you support it? Support it means you buy things that were made by a person who was being forced to work. A slave. They say if you buy products from or services from any of 50 companies that they have listed, that you're likely to be supporting modern American slavery. So they say American slavery was technically abolished, as I said, in 1865. But the loophole allowed it to continue if you were convicted of a crime, right? So they say corporations have lobbied for a broader and broader definition of crime in the last 150 years. As a result, there are more, mostly dark-skinned people, performing mandatory, essentially unpaid, hard labor in America today than there was in 1830. Now, let's just get the logistics together on that. They abolished slavery. The 13th Amendment was passed in 1865, January 31st, and ratified in December 6th. But they're saying today we have more people being, you know, performing mandatory, essentially unpaid hard labor than there were in 30. That's before they ratified the, you know, the 13th Amendment was supposed to abolish slavery. There's something to think about right there. You know, we have more people forced into labor in the United States of America. With 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's prison population, the United States had the largest incarcerated population in the world. No other society in history has imprisoned more of its own citizens. So this is not the illegal aliens filling up the prisons coming across Mexico. This is U.S. citizens. And I'm not saying that some people aren't guilty or anything like that. We're not going there. There are 500,000 more prisoners in the United States than in China, which has 5 times our population. Approximately 1 in 100 adults in America were incarcerated in 2014. Out of an adult population of 245 million that year, there were 2.4 million people in prison, jail, or some form of detention center. The vast majority, 86%, of prisoners have been locked up for nonviolent, victimless crimes, many of them drug related. Prison labor helps produce goods and services for almost every big business in America. Whole Foods, I'm just going to name a couple of them because there's a lot of them. I got some more, but I'm going to go through a couple of them. You know, Whole Foods says the corporation has been offsetting the high wages paid to third world producers with not so fair wages here in America. So like some of the stuff you get from Whole Foods, they said coffee, chocolate, bananas. The corporation's famous for its animal welfare rating system, apparently was not as concerned about the welfare of human animals working for them in Colorado prisoners until April of this year. And this article was written in 2016. They said the tilapia you thought you were buying from sustainable American family farms, it was raised by prisoners in Colorado who were paid as little as 74 cents a day. That fancy goat cheese and, the goats were raised and the milk and milk by prisoners too. McDonald's. Everybody, what's that, over 8 billion served or something? 14? What is it? That's a lot of folks. I think that must be the most successful food chain. Or one of them anyway. So they had a lot of things from McDonald's made, plastic things, containers, uniforms. The inmates who sold McDonald's uniforms make even less money an hour than the people who wear them. You know, the people at McDonald's don't make a lot of money, so the inmates make even less. But you know that if you're getting paid 74 cents or any cents a day, you're not making a lot of money. So Walmart. Company policy states that forced or prison labor will not be tolerated by Walmart. That's Walmart's company policy. And then these guys are saying that every item in this store has been supplied by third-party prison labor factories. Walmart purchases its produce from prison farms where laborers are often subjected to long hours in the blazing heat without adequate food or water. And that sounds exactly like slavery. Victoria's Secret, which I was surprised, but I shouldn't be surprised. Female inmates in South Carolina sew undergarments and casual wear, pricey lingerie company. I would think that, but well, no, it's mass produced, so I didn't think that was in the prison system. But it sounds like anything you can think of is being made by prisoners. So. In the late 90s, two prisoners were placed in solitary confinement for telling journalists that they were hired to replace made in Honduras garment tags with made in USA tags. I guess that's for the push to buy U.S. Products. AT&T company laid off thousands of telephone operators and all union members in order to increase their profits. So who did they get to answer their phones? They have consistently used inmates to work in their call center since 1993, barely paying them $2 a day. BP, British Petroleum, y'all know the gas company, right? When BP spilled 4.2 billion barrels of oil into the Gulf Coast, the company sent a workforce of almost exclusively African-American inmates to clean it up. There were many out of work fishermen who struggled in that area to make ends meet, but they weren't hired to do that work to clean up. They used inmates because, of course, I mean, if you can not pay, barely pay somebody to do the work, you know, you save money. We understand the business concept there. Question is that okay? I mean, is it? So here's a list of companies implicated in exploiting prison labor. And this is what these guys are saying here from Return to Now. It's got a list of whole lot of folks you wouldn't believe. So it was like this first one, Bank of America. I can't even understand how that. What is the Bank of America doing with prison labor? Bear, you know, they make the Bear aspirin. Cargill, I never heard of them. Caterpillar, Chevron, Chrysler, Costco, John Deere, Eli Lilly and Company, ExxonMobil, Glaxo, Smith and Klein, Smith and Klein, Johnson & Johnson, Kmart, Koch Industries, we said McDonald, Merck, Microsoft, Motorola, Nintendo, Pfizer, Procter & Gamble, Pepsi, Conagra Foods, Shell, Starbucks, UPS, Verizon, I said Walmart, and Wendy's. But that was these guys' list. So, spearheading the push to enslave convicts appears to be an organization by the name of, that they call ALEC. That's the acronym, A-L-E-C. So you have these things called ALEC corporations. Corporations identified as being involved with the American, the A, legislative, the L, exchange, E, council, C, ALEC. Since ALEC exposed project launched in 2011, relying upon the most recently available documentation or communication. All connections are with, you know, companies that, you know, big companies, corporations, they have very, they represent, it's like, ALEC is like having what they call lobbyists, which seems, I don't know what a lobbyist, they go up and they go and they push your agenda to the politicians, get laws passed in your favor. So, for corporations, they had the money to influence votes, legislation, and things like that. Us, we can't do that. But we do have the ability to end up in places to be subjected to these laws. And you don't have to be in prison to be subjected to laws of or corporations or anything like that. But let's stick to the prison thing right here. ALEC is a corporate bill mill. It's not just a lobby or a front group. It is much more powerful than that. Through ALEC, corporations hand state legislators, right? ALEC hand state legislators their wish list. Anybody listen ever did that? You ever hand a state legislator your wish list and got it to benefit their bottom line? Corporations fund almost all of ALEC operations. They pay for a seat on ALEC task forces where corporate lobbyists and special interest reps vote with elected officials to approve model bills. Now, that may not sound like much to some people that are listening, but pay close attention to that because these people are making, influencing laws that impact on your life. So basically, they get laws passed to support what they want to do. That makes it legal. Ask yourself, can you get laws to, so that you can do what you want to do? Or when's the last time you did pass a law that is designed to ensure that you get to do what you want to do? So back to ALEC being exposed. So through ALEC, global corporations are scheming to rewrite your rights and boost their revenue. That's why you should be concerned about that, because anybody that has the ability to influence government, which they shouldn't, against your interests, right, is a problem. And this is a giant. ALEC is a serious issue here. I know we probably not concerned about it because it probably sounds, you know, alien to some people. ALEC is a, you know, acronym for a legislative giant for corporations. So through the corporate funded American Legislative Exchange Council, global corporations and state politicians vote behind closed doors to try to rewrite state laws that govern your rights. I'm going to say that one more time. I know it may sound like I'm on a soapbox, but got to stress this: through the corporate funded American Legislative Exchange Council, that's ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, global corporations and state politicians vote behind closed doors to try to rewrite state laws that govern your rights. These so-called model bills reach into almost every area of American life and often directly benefit huge corporations. Own words, corporations have a voice and a vote on specific changes that to the law that are then proposed in your state. And as I ask you, you know, can you do that as an individual? Can you influence laws? Can you write? Can you, your family, you know, the average person? We know the average person can't do that. We know that because we don't have any dough. Nobody's going to listen to us, right or wrong. So the Center for Media and Democracy and Common Cause filed extensive new evidence in whistleblower tax fraud case against ALEC. They said ExxonMobil and American Legislative ALEC Exchange Council are running an illegal scheme to promote the oil giant's climate denial policies and legislative agenda in violation of U.S. tax law governing charitable organizations. They said with the complaint that ALEC is operating as a corporate lobbying group while registered as a 501c3 nonprofit charity. See, this is big boy stuff. This is not robbing a corner store. Somebody just got their little check. These are real gangsters. Exxon has deliberately used ALEC for the past two decades to advance its legislative goals concerning cap and trade policy, fracking, the Keystone Pipeline, and the Obama administration's Clean Power Plan. Basically, they're going to do what they want to do when they want to do it. So, and they're going to make it legal. And that's the best way to, the best way to commit a crime is to make it legal, you know. And, you know, because if it's legal, it's not a crime, even though it is a crime. It might be unethical and immoral, but if you make it legal, you can get away with it. Prison labor, net neutrality, from Mike Elk and Bob Sloan. Years after ALEC's Truth and Sentencing Bill became the law of the land, its Prison Industries Act, that's the PIA, it's a lot of that on the acronym things in this here, was quietly expanded prison labor across the country. So you know that three strikes rule, right? That was a sentencing bill that Bill Clinton passed. They took advantage of that. While not all prisoners are forced to work, most opted because life would even be more miserable if they didn't. So they have to purchase pretty much everything above the barest necessity, and sometimes those too, with their hard-earned pennies. Some of them have legal fines to pay off and families to support on the outside. Often they come out more in debt than when they went in. How does that happen? Well, that's easy. They hit you with a lot of fines, you make a little bit of money. Many fines, a little bit of money. Prison farms, a.k.a. modern plantations. In places like Texas, however, prison work is mandatory and unpaid. The literal definition of slave labor. Y'all heard that? Places like Texas, they say that Texas, you go to jail, you got to work. According to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, prisoners start their day with a 3:30 a.m. wake-up call. They're served breakfast. And all prisoners who are physically able, they have to report to work on assignments by 6 a.m. in the morning. Offenders are not paid for their work, but they can earn privileges as a result of good work habits. The website said most prisoners work in prison support jobs like cooking, cleaning, laundry, and maintenance, but about 2,500 of them work in the Texas prison system's own agribusiness department, where they factory farm 10,000 beef cattle, 20,000 pigs, and 250,000 egg-laying hens. The prisoners also produce 74 million pounds of livestock feed per year, 300,000 cases of canned vegetables, and enough clothes themselves and presumably others. They also work at meat packing plants, where they process 14 million pounds of beef and 10 million pounds of pork a year. While on the other, stated goals is to reduce operation costs by having prisoners produce their own food. So they're reducing the price it costs to house prisoners because they're actually working, you know, the prison. So, you know, they're producing their own food. So, you know, they said, but they earn revenues from sales of surplus agricultural production. So they're doing something that sounds right. But they're doing another thing where they're just earning on revenues, and guys are just not being paid for that. Prisoners who refuse to work are placed in solitary confinement. So they said they asked the Texas prisons, they asked if they still employ chain gangs in Texas, right? And they said that Texas prison authorities replied, no, Texas does not use chain gangs. However, offenders working outside the perimeter fence are supervised by armed correctional officers on horseback. Man, now that's double talk. Denying the existence of the chain gang while identifying the utilization of the chain gang. Again, you don't have chain gangs, but you got a situation that mimics the chain gang. As Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? Similar prison farms exist in Arizona, Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Indiana, Mississippi, Ohio, and other states. Goods produced on prison farms generally used to feed prisoners and other words, other wards of the states like orphanages and asylums. They also sold for profit. So who's getting a profit? What's that money going at? Inmates may be farmed out. Sound familiar? That sound like slavery? To private enterprise through the practice of convict leasing. Work on private agricultural lands or related industries, fishing, lumbering, etc. So, I guess an inmate might do use that to just to get out of the, you know, the monotony of being, you know, stuck on a tier in a cell with about how many other people might be on that tier cell with them. You know, I understand that for the prisoners, it's kind of a force, you know, coerced situation even with that, you know, but you're incarcerated and you're working, someone is earning lots of money from your work, but for some reason they don't want to pay you. Based on the 13th Amendment, they don't have to because you are slave. You're incarcerated, you've been convicted of a crime, and you are a slave. They can put you to work and force you to work. The breaded chicken patty your child bites into at school may have been made by a worker earning 20 cents an hour. Think about that. When we think about, you know, slavery has been abolished, and what percentage of for black people and people of color, what percentage of the, you know what, white people too. Think about it. What, you guys in prison, they're enslaving you, you know, and somebody's making a lot of money You know, you want the guys to be rehabilitated. That would be a good opportunity for them to earn money, get on their feet, come out, you know, and have something, you know, a little bit of change to hold them up. But they sounds like they want them to have a little bit of change, like literally, like, and I'm, you know, come on. Like, that's a good opportunity for them to actually make money in prison. And what's wrong with that? That would sound like rehabilitation to me, because then they could get hired at that same job. But, you know, can't treat them as slaves. Is that okay with us? Are we okay with people being incarcerated and treated as slaves per the Constitution of the United States? You know, it's not even a secret. It's, you know, it's just there in your face, sir, incarcerated, and have to do perform prison labor. Prison Rehabilitative Industries and Diversified Enterprise, this thing called PRIDE, so many acronyms, probably held nonprofit corporation that operates the state's 41 work programs. In addition to processed food, PRIDE's website reveals an array of products for sale through contracts with private companies, from eyeglasses to office furniture to be shipped from distributor center in Florida to businesses across the U.S. PRIDE, right? The Prison Rehabilitative Industries and Diversified Enterprise, right, boasts that its work programs are designed to provide vocational training to improve prison security, to reduce the cost of state government, and to promote the rehabilitation of the state inmates. That's what I was just mentioning. Although this wide variety of goods have been long produced by state and federal prisoners for the U.S. government, license plates are the classic example. I don't know if you guys remember, that used to be always what they said about going to jail. You're going to press license plates. More recent contracts have been including every form of guided missile parts to the solar panels powering government buildings. So we got guided missile parts being made in prison, and solar panels powering on government buildings. That's not a small thing. Prison labor for the private sector was legally barred for years to avoid unfair competition with private companies. But this has changed thanks to who? ALEC. And it's Prison Industries Act. So they got that changed so that they could take advantage of prison labor. So that's what ALEC did. Remember, the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC. So they lobby up in Washington or wherever the government is making decisions to help corporations get laws passed in their interests. Not in your interest, in their interest. ALEC helped pioneer some of the toughest sentencing laws on the books today, like mandatory minimum for nonviolent drug offenders, three strikes laws, and the truth in sentencing laws. In 1995 alone, ALEC's Truth in Sentencing Act was signed into law in 25 states. So now if that's not reaching anybody, you know, go back to what I said in the beginning. We have one of the most incarcerated. We have the highest rate of incarceration here in the United States. Maybe those conditions are facilitated by people such as, you know, ALEC and corporations that support ALEC, represent ALEC, and we're not going to leave out the politicians, because they can't get. It could be 1,000 ALEC. Lobbyists, and you know, the laws don't have to get passed. So the question again, even though I'm talking about ALEC, dig a little deeper, you got to take a look at your politicians. So these guys seem to me are up there getting their palms greased or whatever it is they do to pass a law that's not working for the people, for the citizens. It doesn't work for us at all. You know what I'm saying? So privatizing the parole process, Ali has been involved in that through proven success of the private bail bond industry. It recommended in 2007. The American Bail Coalition is an exclusive member of the ALEX Public Safety and Elections Task Force. So you see how deep ALEC is running? And this is just, I'm just talking about the prison system and corporations. And it's more to it than that. You know, they're involved in anything that you vote on that might impact on these corporations or special interest groups. And I assure you, the average Joe is neither. Right? You might work for one of these corporations or special interest groups, but I assure you, you're not a part of the decision-making process if you don't have any real wealth. So Alec worked to pass a state law to create private for-profit prisons, a boon of two of its major corporate sponsors, Corrections Corporation of America and GEO Group, formerly Wakenhurst Corrections, the largest private prison firms in the county. Alec arranged secret meetings between Arizona state legislators and CCA to draft what became the SB 1070, Arizona's notorious immigration law. So you know, so you know what that means, right? To keep CCA prisons flush with immigrant detainees. So somebody said, man, we got a lot of immigrants up in here. Can we take advantage of that? Let's lock them up. We can put them to work. So that's another way. That's a legal way of saying that. Not of saying it, of doing it. So mass incarceration would create a huge captive workforce for the, you know, U.S. Through the U.S. prison population, especially as it reaches peak, because, you know, we got most of the prisoners. We're just a very incarcerated country here. As Congress in 1979, the PI program was designed to encourage states and units of local government to establish employment opportunities for prisoners that approximate private sector work opportunities. According to Pride website, the benefits to big corporations were clear. Excuse me. A readily available workforce for the private sector and a cost-effective way to occupy a portion of the ever-growing offender inmate population for prison officials. Few states participated in that program, though. Then they say it started to change in 1993. When Texas State Representative and ALEC member Ray Allen crafted the Texas Prison Industries Act. Let's see, the TPIA, which aimed to expand program. After it passed in Texas, Allen advocated that it be duplicated across the country. Right? So you got to... In 1995, Alex Prison Industries Act was born. So that basically they're saying, we're going to lock these people up and we're going to put them to work. Right? They create the conditions for you to be incarcerated and put to work. And I'm not excusing people that commit crimes either. Nobody's getting that idea about what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they're making it easier for you to be incarcerated for a long period of time, therefore creating a large prison labor population. So don't get it twisted. This Prison Industries Act, as printed in ALEC's 1995 state legislation's source book, provides for the employment of inmate labor in state correctional institutions and in the private manufacturing of certain products under specific conditions. These conditions defined by the PI program are supposed to include requirements that inmates must be paid at the prevailing wage rate and that the any room and board deductions are reasonable and are used to defray the cost of inmate incarceration. So we're going to put these guys to work to so that we don't have to pay so much money to keep. That's going to cut costs of keeping a guy incarcerated. Some states charge prisoners room and board to offset the cost of prisons for taxpayers. For us, hey, y'all heard that? In Florida, for example, prisoners are being paid minimum wage for PI-certified labor, but 40% is taken out of their accounts for this purpose. The Prison Industries Act sought to change this. The money should, they said, be used to, among other things, construct work facilities, recruit corporations to participate as private sector industries in this program, and pay costs of the authority and department in implementing these programs. That sounds like, you know, they're just flipping the prisoners. Money that was taken from inmates' wages to offset the cost of incarceration would increasingly go to expanding prison industries. In 2000, Florida passed a law that mirrored the Prison Industries Act. So like I said, the best way to commit a crime is to get a law passed in your favor. You know, and I'm not encouraging anybody to be, you should be fair, but I'm being sarcastic. But, I mean, that is the best way to commit a crime. I mean, look at these guys. Once you get it written in the law, just like slavery, that's immoral. And it was legal. And it still is legal if you've been incarcerated, if you are incarcerated. So, you know, these guys are taking full advantage of this, and they have ways to perpetuate the prison population through the legislative process, which is scary. Because their corporations, are they facilitating the conditions that encourage crime or, you know, facilitate crime conditions in communities? Therefore, you facilitate laws that encourage that these individuals be incarcerated and incarcerated at, you know, at a high rate. Fill these prisons up so that you can get some workers in there. So are people going to jail because they need workers in the prisons? Is that one of the, you know, underlined, train of thoughts that cause people to go to, you know, the jail, you know, instead of maybe like probation or parole or something like that, which is cheaper than sending somebody to jail for, especially for the nonviolent crimes. I mean, wouldn't that be cheaper just not for that guy to be in jail? You know, I can understand you got guys out here, you know, shooting up, you know, the neighborhood, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. But some of these other guys, why are they in jail? Why are these, like, non-threatening individuals getting hit with the, you know, three strikes, you're out, you know, process? What's going on there? It's not three assaults. It's three strikes. You know, was that legislative process abused and through the courts on purpose to increase the prison population? So you got to think about these things, because we got an active giants here just plotting relation for labor, slave labor. And I don't care if it's 74 cents an hour, you working it. Who does that? Man, this, come on, bread costs a couple of dollars now, you know. So, and then you got the guys, you know, they work, they got to pay for their room and board. They ain't staying in a hotel. They ain't actually come there. They ain't cause you holding them there. So, you know, how does he get ahead if the minute he makes a little bit of money, you take it away from him? I don't know. That's kind of like a debased situation. So the Prisons Industries Act was also written to exploit a critical PI loophole that seemed to suggest that its rules did not apply to prisoner-made goods that were not shipped across state lines. This is some of the BS that they do. So they start, you know, they start finding loopholes because, you know, everything's not perfect, but they're, you know, they exploit, you know, things within the law. A 2010 report from said Last summer, there were 30 jurisdictions with active PI operations. That's a thing for the prisoners to work, you know, make money, room and board, and, you know, stuff. These included such states as Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, did I say Kansas? Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Minnesota, and 12 more. Four more states were looking into getting involved as well. Kentucky, Michigan, and Pennsylvania have introduced legislation, and New Hampshire is in the process of applying for PI certification. So that's putting it, prisoners to work and charging prisoners. So this thing was getting bigger. Prison labor has already started to undercut the business of corporations that don't use it. So remember, they wanted to prevent that originally because it was unfair for corporations that don't use prison labor. Because if I'm paying somebody $11 an hour and you paying somebody 74 cents or nothing, who's going to make the most money? And you could sell your product cheaper than I can because, you know, I don't want to make, you know, it's gonna, my cost is higher. So, but if you don't have an overhead or barely an overhead, then you can, you know. So they wanted to prevent that, but it's going down. So it's even having doing some corporations. So in Florida, Pride has become one of the largest printing corporations in the state. It's cheap labor having a significant impact on smaller local printers. So people going out of business. Right? Florida's 41 prison industries. California alone, Florida has 41 prison industries. Florida's, 41 prison industries. California alone has 60. Another 100 are so scattered throughout the other states. Several states are looking to replace public sector workers with prison labor. So that's if you want to look at it like you, the average Joe going to work, your job's going to be replaced with a prison slave. So to people that think that I'm just talking and that these people here are just talking, you know, if that, when you start seeing that happening, you're in deep trouble because now you're out of a job. And what happens when people can't work, can't get their needs provided? Some people find other means to do that. Some people will create a job for themselves, and other people will resort to crime. So if you get incarcerated for committing a crime, you go to jail, you come back in the sector, and you work as a slave instead of working. For a business, you work, do the work as a slave, you can come right back. They just recycle you, take you from the employment to the unemployment slave industry. Y'all hear me? Is that scary that people are actually, you know, sitting in back rooms, wherever they sit at, are making these decisions to basically enslave people and take the jobs from other people who are free, so-called free men, and replace their labor with slave labor. You know, makes dollars and cents if you're a corporation that's going to benefit from it. And of course, it's a threat to corporations that don't utilize that type of service. So I guess there's some corporation that's not down with Alec. You know, thumbs up to those guys who are trying to pay people for their labor. But to the people who are trying to enslave people, everyone should be aware of that. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello, Q.
Hello, it's Q. Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
That's some scary sounding stuff.
That's scary, man. I'm telling you, man. Scary.
It is. But you know what, though? Ever since I can remember, I can always remember everybody always saying, you know, watch out for the man is coming at you, and yada, 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 you know what I mean? And, you know, not everybody was correct or had it right, you know, had the nail on the head, but what you're saying is actual, factual, Anybody can look this information up and find it out, or just watch the news and just see how things are going, you know,
right.
with everything that you just said. It's not hard to follow that.
Right.
But besides that, if that doesn't scare them, the fact that the alarming rate that black people are committing these crimes against each other, that's even more horrifying than that, I think, more immediate
right.
than that. And
right.
I don't know what it would take to get people to wake up if, you know, that doesn't affect them. You know what I mean? That doesn't get them to change, you know? I mean, I don't know, man. They're just freaking lost or something, man.
It's amazing.
They're stuck on being stupid, man.
Well,
I mean,
they're gonna be.
I like that whole thing about marching in the streets about the cops and stuff, but like you were saying on your other show, we're more a threat to ourselves and our own community than anybody else.
Right.
Let alone these people making all these grand schemes and things to imprison everybody. You know, I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, they're taking advantage of the of poverty. And of unemployment opportunities and illegal opportunities that people resort to, you know. So, you know, failure to thrive, you know, it does something to your self-esteem. So maybe people find ways to boost their self-esteem through aggression and violence and support their
right.
whatever it is they're doing on the street through, again, aggression and violence. So you just may – it has so many layers that – contribute to the prison population going on
mm-hmm.
through unemployment and esteem issues, then, I mean, you just look at that and say, well, we're going to get a lot of these people because there might be some people who just going to struggle being poor and other people who are going to have a hard time with that, you know what I'm saying? And they're going to do
mm-hmm.
whatever they deem necessary to improve their quality of life, to get theirs, you know what I mean? To get paid, as one of the sayings that they say. So they know that they've seen it before, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
So they already know. They got a population out there that they can send to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And make money. I mean, once that trend starts, you see other states start to, let me see now. I can use that.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yep.
you know, money talks and then other stuff, you know. But we're in trouble, though. But we have to be, it's like we have very little representation anytime Alex can go in there and do stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the representation for the average Joe, the average taxpayer? It seems like we are in that state of taxation and no representation. Except this time, we're not willing to do anything about it. Taking it on the chin. Bam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, it's kind of scary, you know. You know, Alec isn't, this is just one of the things Alec is involved in, you know, because, you know, they influence
mm-hmm.
government. So government, you know, that's this is not just, it's just one. You know, and I say thumbs up to corporations are not trying to enslave people. And, you know, give people a fair wage and things like that. But it's even a threat to some corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So this must be the big fish. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just named people who benefit from it, like, you know, Walmart and stuff. Like, you know, Walmart is known for hiring ex-cons, too. So
mm-hmm.
I guess after you get out of jail, you can go work for them. So I guess they're getting it. If they've been getting stuff from them... Anyway, you know what I'm saying? You get out, go get a job down Walmart. They're familiar. You know, they have a relationship. But, you know, it's scary that people just pass laws and people just allow people to do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
our political representation is poor. That's what this
yeah.
tells me. This tells me our representation is poor. Those who have wealth have the ability to influence laws, and people need to understand if you can do that, you can influence the lives of other people, not just guys that's going to jail. You know, but that's another story, another show.
Mm-hmm.
But this, it's crazy. Inmates not paid for their work but receive time off their sentences, but somebody is making money, is profiting from their work. Right?
Right. Yeah,
come
crazy.
On now. Is that okay? Just because the 13th, I mean, is it okay the 13th Amendment says if you're incarcerated, you can be made a slave? Just that alone, is that okay?
Nope.
That's my question. That thing was written a long time ago by people who enslave people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? You know, so that's evil genius. Take the jobs out of the community, throw in a little marijuana, heroin, and cocaine, the third strike rule, privatize the prison system, and flood it with all who enter the snare of entrapment for slave prison labor. That's, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, a lot of work, you know, technology will get in your job, some jobs. But some jobs were just outsourced out of the country, you know, for cheaper labor, right? So, I mean, when you do that, you know you're going to have that's right there is going to increase the prison population. Oh, we don't have no money. I'm going to do something. I'm going to run numbers, sell some dope. I'm going to do this. I'm going to steal cars to make a living, hot cars. I'm going to, whatever they're going to do. Or I'm so depressed, I'm going to use drugs, you know. I got a habit, I got to get some money. So all these things is going to perpetuate the prison system and things like that, you know. But, you know, we never talk about how or if corporations have a responsibility to the people of the United States. You know what I mean? Why would you take the jobs away from them? Why would you do that? So, you know, I'm just asking, do you think that that's a plan? They took the jobs away, the people start losing their jobs, their homes, and things like that. Some people are just not going to sit around and let that happen. They're going to do something. Okay, we have like 90 seconds left. I don't know if people are really aware of Alec or not, you know. They said poverty, unemployment have a relationship, you know. Leave people with two choices, either take part in criminal activity or try to find legal but quite limited resources to income. I mean, you could be working and still committing crimes because you ain't making enough money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess it's time to go.
So would
go ahead,
Alex be the new Illuminati?
Woo, I don't even know. They probably had something to do with that. I didn't even get that far, whether it's the Illuminati or not. I wouldn't be surprised if the Illuminati was involved with that. Right? I wouldn't be surprised.
Because they don't have to be the Illuminati. They could just be, a corporation.
Right. Well, yeah, it could be the same one and the same thing.
Right. They don't have to have that label, Illuminati. No, we're a corporation.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're
right.
Big
tank.
That's all we are.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. All right, Q, it's time for us to go. I want to thank everybody for calling in, listening. And remember, each one reach one, each one teach one. Thank you, everyone. I want to thank Retard Protection for allowing me to host this show.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.